Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. Beginning in verse 1. We'll see how far we get this morning, and we may finish up next week. How about that? The 49 points of Abraham. Number one. David still doesn't think that's funny. Even though I wore the duck suit, right? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says this. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. First thing that jumps out to me at this passage is the title of the sermon will be called, If You Will, He Will. If you will, he will. You know, there's a give and take when it comes to your relationship with God. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, but God is a gentleman. He won't force himself on you, and he won't force you to do anything that you don't choose to do. Now, you may do it kicking and screaming, and sometimes he'll even bless that, but you just have to do it. You know, if you will, he will. If you will, he will. One of the first things that jumps out to me about this passage is that he speaks. God speaks. God knows him, and he knows you. He speaks. Every relationship on this earth that's going to be a good relationship or that's a healthy relationship involves communication. You can't go home and not talk to each other. Amen. You know, that's when you know what? Somebody's mad. Right? That's when you know somebody's mad. If there's not much talking going on, you know me, I like to talk. If there's not much talking going on, it's, Dad, what's wrong with you? Why would you say that? Well, you're not saying nothing. Honey, what's wrong with you? Did you have a bad day? Well, I say the same thing to her. Honey, what'd the kids do? Or what didn't I do? You know, I get what's going on because of the lack of communication. But the first thing that jumps out to me about this passage is that God speaks. And also, Abram was called not Abraham, but Abram. He was called Abram, which means in Hebrew, exalted father. Even though he wasn't a father and he wasn't exalted, he was called Abram. But when he meets God later on, God changes his name. Meets him again, God changes his name. But God is a communicator. He's a speaker. He'll talk to you. He'll talk to me. But the greatest thing about all this is that he'll also talk to the lost. Amen. Abraham was not a Christian. Abraham was not a Jew. Christians weren't even existing back then, but Abraham wasn't even a Jew. He didn't even worship God. The God of Abraham hadn't come yet. I mean, God of Abraham always existed, but Abraham had not worshipped him yet. In fact, Abraham and his family were idol worshipers. They were from Ur, and that place was known to worship the moon god. Everybody there did all that, including them. And then here he is in Haran, minding his own business, doing what he does every day, and God speaks to him. Speaks to him actually in Ur, but he's in Haran. God speaks to him in Ur and says, look, I want you to do something. I want you to pack up and I want you to leave. God is a communicator. He speaks. You know, one of the things that I found in my life was that when I was on the golf course, God spoke to me. But the second thing that's so powerful about this passage is that not only when God speaks, does he speak and communicate, but his creation knows who it is. He had never heard the voice of God before. He didn't worship God. He never heard the voice of God before. And then God all of a sudden breaks through in his day and starts communicating with him, even though he doesn't know him. And he knows who he is. When I was on the golf course that day, I knew. I'd never heard the voice of God before. I wasn't walking with God, but I knew who was talking to me. a friend of mine that's in ministry, he was out partying with his friends on a weekend, and he said, man, we were off doing stuff that teenagers did, from the drinking to the drugs. He said, I was high as a kite. And he said, I was trying to meet up with my buddies, and he said, I was walking down the road, getting back to the hotel. He said, and all of a sudden, I hear, without me, you have no purpose. And he froze. And he knew who was talking, even though he didn't know him. He said, without me, you have no purpose. He said, and I got to the hotel room, and we got in the car to leave the next morning. And he was like me in the golf cart that day, quiet, trying to digest everything that was just said in this much from the creator of the universe and the creator of me and the creator of you and of all things. So God speaks. And he said, I got in the car, and he said, I was dumbfounded. And I told my friend, I said, man, when we get home, he said, we're on our way home Sunday morning. He said, man, when we get home, I'm going to church tonight. And he said, oh, man, you're just tripping. You're just tripping. You're just coming down off of your stuff. He said, you'll be cool. You'll be fine. Sean knows, don't you, Sean? You know some people like that. He said, you'll be fine. He said, no. No, I won't be. He knew. He said, I won't be fine. Without me, you don't have any purpose. God speaks to Abraham, who was Abram at the time, an exalted father who wasn't even a father. He speaks to him. He's willing to communicate. Let me ask you this. If God's willing to do that to Abraham, what makes you think he's not willing to do that to you? You know him. He talks. I'm of the persuasion as a pastor and also a Christian and being in ministry for 16 years. I'm of the persuasion that God, at one time or another, multiple times in their lives, speaks to everybody on this earth. He does. How can you say that? How can you be sure? Because number one, we're his creation. And number two, his will is that none would perish. None would. So I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he wouldn't send his son just to speak to a select few. He wouldn't send his son just to speak to the masses up until a certain point. I believe that he sent his son to die for everyone, just like the word says. He so loved the world that he sent him. And if he sent him, he'll speak to us. And that gives me encouragement for my lost family. That gives me encouragement for my lost friends or people that I know that are lost that aren't my friends. That gives me encouragement. There's going to come a day, and there's probably been multiple days, where he has spoken and they know it. How many of you know people like I do that have said this, that their life is in shambles? They're running from God. You know it. You can see it just from the outside. They've been running from God. You can tell by the way they talk, by the way they conduct themselves, and just the anointing that's there without them even being with God, that they are set apart to do a work for the Lord. Maybe even preach. I've talked to people before, and I've known of conversations with people before that said, you know what? I knew from a young age that I was called to preach, and I'm not doing it. And not only that, they're not even serving God. Not even serving God. There's somebody in this town, well known, if I gave you their name, you would know them. You would know them. They own almost, at one time, they've owned almost everything in this county. And they said this, I knew as a little boy God called me to preach. He spoke to me and showed me that I was called to be a preacher. But when I went back to my family, they said, if you do that, we'll cut you out of the will. And he's not even in church today. His family isn't even in church. In fact, his family is a wreck. His family is a wreck. His kids, multiple divorces, going here, there, and yonder. Just a mess. Just a mess. God speaks. People have walked this aisle at 5 years old, crying, shedding tears, knowing that God has spoken to them at 5 years old and revealed himself to them at 5 years old. God speaks. He's a communicator, and he knows how to get through to his kids. Second thing about this passage, if we look at it, is that God knows where you are. When Abraham was first called by God, he was in Ur. Now he was in Haran. He went there with his family, but God knows where you are. He was 800 miles away from his destination. He was 800 miles away from Canaan. And God knew exactly where he was. God knew exactly where he was when he wasn't kneeling in prayer every day, when he wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing as far as knowing a God that he didn't know. He knew right where he was. God knew exactly where he was. One of the things that struck me about going on our honeymoon, when I was with Lisa on our honeymoon, we went on a cruise, and I'd never been on a cruise before. I fought her pretty much the whole way, but you know how it goes. They're going to win, right? Especially on the wedding day. Paula knows, yeah. I was like, baby, what do you mean a cruise? Now you can't get me off a boat most of the time. But I said, what do you mean a cruise? I said, you know, because I was athletic, like to play golf, like to go to the beach, stuff like that. And she's like, trust me, baby, it's not what you think. It's big. You won't even know you're on a boat. Well, she was right. And the second day, yeah, write it down, right? The second day on the boat, when I got up in the morning, I went out and got my coffee and was leaning over the rail like many of you have done on your cruise. And no matter where you looked, there was no land. And all you heard was the boom, boom, the water hitting the boat, water hitting the side. Nowhere. I mean, you're like a pin out there, Jason. Just not even a pin, not even a needle in a haystack. You're not even that. You know, and that's when you look at the news and when you see those searches going on for people or even boats or even airplanes, you know and understand why they can't find them. Because when you're sitting here in Cartersville, it doesn't look like that big of a deal. But when you're on the ocean in the middle of nowhere, even on a big old boat that's the size of a football field, you still don't stand out. And I remember thinking to myself, God, I'm this far away from everything, and you know exactly where I am. All I have to do is start talking, and you're right here. You'll start communicating. You'll start talking back. You know exactly where I am. And see, that's Bible. That's Scripture. You know, Abraham, God knew where he was. In fact, Psalm 139:7 says this. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. He was over 800 miles away from the promised land. And God wasn't waiting for him there. He was following him the whole way. He was following him the whole way. And you know, that's the same thing for us sometimes. Sometimes we feel like we're a million miles away from our purpose. Sometimes we feel like we're a million miles away from our promised land. But I'm here to tell you this morning that if you only came for one reason, that God is right there with you. You may feel like you're a million miles away, and you may be 800 miles away or a million in your finances, in your marriage, on your job, in any other area of your life. You may feel like you're a million miles away from the purpose of God for you. But God is still there. He's still there. He still knows where you're at. And he's still willing to communicate with you. Still willing to communicate. Third thing jumps out at me about this passage. If we read it. In verse 1, he says this. He said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land that I will show you. That when it comes to walking with God, you're going to have to leave some people behind. Yeah, there's no amens. But it's the truth, right, Wayne? It's the truth. When you're walking with God, you've not only got to leave some stuff, but you've got to leave some people. Think about what I said earlier. They came from Ur. It was a pagan society, but it was a society that was flourishing. Abraham and his family, it's documented that they were wealthy. Based on all the commentaries, they were assuming that they were a wealthy family with what they had, grabbed hold of, what they'd earned while they were there, the kind of jobs they might have had. But it was a place of commerce. It was a place of wealth. Even though they were worshiping idols, it was still a place where there was a lot of money flowing. And then God calls him and says, you need to leave all you've known. God ever do that to anybody else? Why did he do that? Why did he say that? Was it because he was relying on his wealth? Was it because he was relying on his stuff, or he could look to his stuff? Maybe he had some trinkets in there that were demonic. I don't know. But what I do know is this. I believe this is at least one point on why he called him to leave. It's because his family didn't worship the God that he did. And they wouldn't worship the God that he did. You know, God will do a work in you separate from your family. But he will call you away from your family to do that. You'll lose some friends along the way. That's normal. You'll lose some family members along the way. That's normal. You notice they didn't fuss. They didn't carry on. They didn't fight. It's not talked about here. You don't have to do it that way. But God in his sovereignty will just push them out of the way. I lost friends that were like family. And they weren't mad, and we didn't have cross words or anything. They just, after a few weeks, they weren't around. And I didn't go chasing them down. Family. God removed me from people in my family. Because if I would have still stayed with them, I'd still be where they are. Let me say it again. If I stayed with them, I'd still be where they are. You will only go as high as the people that you're around. Bad company corrupts. And a lot of times we talk about that and we say that in a way that, hey man, if you're around drug dealers and if you're around people that do drugs and sell alcohol and drink alcohol, you're probably going to be one. Hey, I'm in agreement with that. You probably will be. But it goes much deeper than that in every other area of your life. And the Bible also says that you're not to be unequally yoked. You can't be hanging around with people that don't believe like you do and expect to flourish and grow. Why? Because they're always going to be pulling on you. They're always going to be making fun. I mean, I know Christians whose family members make fun of their belief system. They belittle them every chance they get. And they keep going back, and they keep going back. And it's not their husband. If it's your husband, it's one thing. Or if it's your wife, it's one thing. You are in covenant, and you are married. But they keep going back to relationships they have all control over. And they wonder why they're always beat down. They wonder why they're not growing. They wonder why they're not doing and seeing the things that God has promised in their life. And they're not doing the things that God said that they would do. So there's going to be some people that you'll have to leave behind. But that's not to say they won't come back later. If you look at Joseph and his story, what did he do? When he was finally in the position that God had for him in Egypt, he sent word and got his family there too. Sometimes it's just for a season that they're gone. But in that season, you're supposed to be growing and God's doing a work. And he'll also send people around you to take place of your family. So you won't feel alone. You won't feel all by yourself. You won't feel like you're on a deserted island or you're walking through a desert all by yourself. God is awesome. He knows what he's doing. And sometimes when you're walking with him, you have to leave people behind. In fact, you can't get to Canaan with the same people you left Haran with. You can't get to Canaan with the same people that you left Ur with. They're going to drop off along the way. You can't do it. Next thing, right here in this little bulk of Scripture, just in one or two verses, it says here, the Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. He says, and go to the land that I will show you. He'll take you places that you've never been. God, if you walk with him and you do what he says, he will take you places that you've never been and that you could never go on your own. There's no documented history that Abram or Abraham, however you want to call him, knew where he was going. In fact, God said, just go to the place that I'll show you. In other words, when you get there, you'll know it and I'll let you know. When you get there, you'll know it, and I'll let you know. And one of the things that we do as Christians is we want to know where we're going, how long it's going to take, just like kids in the car on vacations. Are we there yet? How much longer? You know, Caleb, he does that every time we get in the car. We pull out of the driveway. Mom, how much longer? We haven't even gotten to the stop sign. Yeah, I know, but I need to know. Why? You're not driving. You're not driving, you're not paying, you're not buying the gas, you're not buying the food. Just sit back. But he's just like me. And he's just like you. Where are we going? How long is it going to take? I need to know. No, you don't. All you need to know is what step to take next. He said, go to the land that I will show you. The Word of God says this. It says that he has promised us not to know the end from the beginning, but he has promised us to know where to step next. He said, look, I will be a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto your path. All that tells me is this, that I can't see that, but I can see this. And that's all I'm supposed to do is walk and keep walking. Turn if I need to turn, but keep walking, because if I look straight ahead and look up, I'm not going to know where my destination is. A lamp unto my feet won't be a lamp out there, but it will get me there. And it'll get you there. And he will take you places that you've never been, not just physically, but he'll also take you places that you've never been, even spiritually. You don't have to be a seasoned saint to go to the heavenly places. All you've got to do is believe God. You don't have to be a seasoned saint to go to heavenly places. All you've got to do is believe God. How many of you known Christians that were young in the faith that saw things and heard things that you haven't seen? It could be because they've just got that childlike faith still. And that raw faith and that joy of their salvation says, you know what? God can do anything. God can do anything. You know, it hit me one day several years ago. I was reading in the book of Acts, and it just hit me one day. I said to myself, man, this stuff is unbelievable. This stuff I don't see much of. I hear some of it sometimes from church folks. I hear about it sometimes from pulpits and churches. I've heard the stories, but here it is written down. And I said this, I said, God, if this is for me, that's what I want. But if it's not, then take the desire out of me. But if this is what I can have, and this is what I can see, and this is how I can walk, then that's what I want to do. I don't want to be a stale Christian that's all dried up and shriveled up and has a bad attitude. I want the newness of life that comes from walking with you. The Word of God says that signs and wonders will follow them that believe. You don't have to be a seasoned saint to know that. Signs and wonders began following Abram that far into his walk. The same thing is true for me and for you. You don't have to be a seasoned saint to see the mighty hand of God move in your life. I was a couple years ago, well, about a year and a half, maybe a year and 9 months ago, I was asked to speak at a local conference here by somebody that I respected like that. And when they called me and asked me, I was like, yeah. And I was like, what'd you just say? When I said it, I said, yeah. And I was thinking to myself, what are you doing, man? I mean, what, do you know who just asked you to do that? Wait, you aren't qualified. I've been to those things. They don't have people like me talk. They don't have people like me speak. They don't have people like me pray. They don't have people like me get up and read. They don't have that. That's for the seasoned saints, the people that I look up to and that have been down this road and wore it out a bunch of times. And I got there that night, and I walked up. It's a podium almost like this. I walked up with my Bible, and I'm walking down the aisle, and I'm scared to death. I'd been praying the whole time during praise and worship, and I was like, well, here goes nothing. Had my Bible, had my scripture, walked up on stage, and as soon as I walked up on stage, I kid you not, I felt the glory of the Lord and the power of God. As soon as my foot hit, it was almost like the sea parted. Amen. And when I put my Bible down, I was getting ready and flipping it open, and I was talking to the Lord, and I said, God, I can't believe this. I can't believe the peace. I can't believe the power I'm feeling. I can't believe that I'm standing up here. And the Lord spoke right then to me, and he said, Patrick, look what I have done. Look what I've done. God will take you places physically and in the spirit that you could never go on your own. If you will, he will. If you'll say yes, he'll do what you can't do. And he'll take you places that you've never been, that you can never get to on your own. Last thing. Verse 2. It says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This chapter, right here, this verse in this chapter is full of I wills. God says, if you do this, if you leave your parents, if you leave everything that you've known, if you leave your security, this is what I'll do for you. Look at what he says. I'll make you a great nation. Abraham couldn't have done that on his own. He was already called exalted father, and it had to run through his mind at least 100 times. What in the world was Dad thinking calling me that, because I'm not that? And God shows up and says, I'll make you something that you can't be on your own, something you may have wanted to be, or something that people have called you to be, but you can't be by yourself. I'll make you into a great nation. Then he says, I'll bless you. Nobody could bless him like God could. He already came out of wealth. He had money. He had stuff. He had people, he had livestock, he had all that, he had a wife. But God will bless you. I don't care what you've got. in the bank. I don't care what you've got at your house. I don't care what neighborhood you live in. God will bless you if you follow Him in ways that you can't bless yourself. No way that a banker like Sean can bless you. No way that a friend could bless you. No way that a businessman could bless you. No way. You know, we have a saying in the earth, and we say this: it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. And that's true in the kingdom. And too many times we bring that mindset into the kingdom walk that we've got. And we say, you know what, if I can just get to Mark, I know he's got this, this, and this. And God says, hey, why don't you just come to me? And maybe I'll send Mark, or maybe I'll send somebody that's got more than Mark just to bless you. Why don't you just do that? You know, that happened to me just 2 weeks ago. I was praying about a situation, and it's something that we needed. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, a few days later, God speaks to me. He says, hey, you need to let so-and-so know that you have a need for that. Yeah. And I had no idea why. Called him up. A few days later, he calls me back, and he says, hey, man, I got your text. Let me go over it with you again and make sure I got it right. It's basically what he was saying. And he said, well, hey, I've had this thing for years, and I've just been looking for somebody to give it to. Just been looking for somebody to give it to. Give. Give. Not sell. Not trade out with, but give. That's happened in my life more times than I can count recent. Well, not more times, but a lot of times. What about with you? He said, I will do this. I will bless you. Right there in that one scripture, God starts defining what He'll do for him. I'll make you a great nation. I'll bless you like no one else could bless you. And I'll make your name great. Nobody could make Abram's name great. Nobody really knew him. He's off on the backside of Iraq. You know, where he was in Haran, that's back in Iraq. Ur was in Iraq. And he was still 800 miles away from Canaan. And God says, and I'll make your name great. In other words, when you're dead and gone, people will be talking about you. That's the same thing that happens when you become born again. How, Patrick? The Word of God says that those who love me, my goodness is shown to 1,000 generations. That's what He says. That's what He says. My goodness is shown to 1,000 generations. How many family reunions are they going to say, boy, y'all weren't alive when Papa Jason got a hold of God and God got a hold of him. Let me tell you what God did in that guy's life. Papa Jason, if it wasn't for him, your mama wouldn't have been born again. If it wasn't for him, your daddy wouldn't be born again. If it wasn't for him, you wouldn't be serving God the way you are. You're a preacher, all because one man said yes to Jesus. He said that he would make his name great, and he would make his name great even after he was dead and gone. After he was dead and gone. And you know the story about James Dobson's grandfather? Prayed every day on his lunch hour. God spoke to him and said, 4 generations from now, they'll all be in ministry. They made James Dobson's grandfather's name great. All because he said, I will to God. And God said, if you will, I will. If you will, I will. If you will, He will. If you will, He will. We'll stop right there. And we'll finish next week. Hopefully finish next week. Abraham was written in the walls of faith, the hall of fame, along with other people. But like everybody else, he didn't start out like that. He started out like you and me. Just trusting God and believing Him with what he had. That much faith. God told him that he would do things in his life that were impossible for other people to do. But all God asked him to do, now hear me this morning, all God asked him to do was what he could do. You can leave. It may be tough, but you can leave. And if you do, I'll make it worth your while. I'll make it worth your while. You can say no to God all you want, but you'll still be 800 miles away from where He wants to take you. And you can't get there apart from Him. Why? Because you don't even know where you're going. He said, follow me and I will take you to a land that I will show you. You may know there's more inside of you, and you may know that there's more for you, but apart from God, you can't get there. You can't be who He's called you to be. You can't be the blessing that He can bless you with. Your name can't be great. You got people whose names are on the side of buildings, side of hospitals, and side of other orphanages and buildings that are good for people. But many of those same people aren't in glory. And once that building comes down, they're forgotten. But what you can do and what God can do through you if you make that decision to follow Him with everything in you all the days of your life, your names aren't only written in the annals of heaven and the book of life, but your name will be great down here in the earth. Please stand.